Welcome to the Sage of Three Paths podcast. We are three brothers who use this space to talk about a range of topics, anything from politics, race, anime, and pop culture, each giving our own perspectives and opinions. I'm the youngest, Mo Janna, also known as Junior Lab.
I'm the oldest, Okello, but my brothers call me AJ.
Middle child, Oz, aka Wizard King.
We three brothers.
One sec. We once again thank you for tuning in and joining us on this sometimes cathartic journey. Let's dive right in.
I'm good. King 1 and King 2. What are you guys saying? It's not Thing 1 and Thing 2. I've got to call you Kings because there's kingship out here. King 1 and King 2. I see you got the Sengbe Pierre t-shirt on, AJ, and you got the Avengers Infinity, the Infinity Stones. What are you guys saying?
Are they called the Infinity Stones? Is that what they're called?
Yeah.
Okay. Are you telling me you ain't watched?
This guy doesn't really like it.
You've not
I'm
watched
not a Marvel movie.
You've fan. Not watched the Avengers. That's what it says. I've
seen like the first two. I think I don't know how many there are.
I don't know either. I'm not gonna lie. I feel like there's
three or four. I thought you that pause was you about to give an answer.
No,
I was like,
No.
I hope this guy's gonna come with that knowledge.
Don't get it twisted. I feel like
three or four.
Yeah, I think there's like three or four. But then again,
maybe the last one's in two parts, something like that.
Mm.
And of course it's all linked to the heroes' individual movies and stuff like that.
Yeah, it's intertwined.
The issue for me with Marvel movies is that they have a formula which works and they stick to it.
Mm.
And, okay, it was fun the first 20 movies, but it's kind of, for me, oversaturated. So, I dropped off a little while ago.
Mm. You watched Black Panther though, right?
I did.
Oh.
Do you know what nearly made me drop off?
What?
Spider-Man 1, 2. Those movies, the first Spider-Mans that came out.
With Tobey Maguire. Was it Tobey Maguire?
100%. Yeah. That guy almost destroyed the image of Spider-Man for me. I just couldn't believe it. That's nothing against his acting skills. Perhaps it's just the project as a whole. I just couldn't believe it.
Those eyes.
I like the new Spider-Man, the British guy. Is it Tom Hatton, something like that?
You have no idea. Might have been the guy who did Billy Elliot years ago, maybe.
No, I don't know. Maybe. I mean, I never watched Billy Elliot, so I don't know.
Yo. There's been two new Spider-Men, yeah?
Yeah.
There's been a few,
super recent. So there's been the guy with the hair.
Who's the guy with the hair?
That makes sense. It's like a youngish dude, not as young as the latest one. What were the movies that he was in?
Well,
do you guys remember?
I need to know who you're talking about first.
It's like Adam something. Man,
Adam Sandler. Can you imagine Adam Sandler being
Spider-Man? Some random crazy no, couldn't hack it.
Okay, Andrew Garfield, that's you were talking about.
Yes, yeah. Andrew Garfield, yeah. I thought he did well. Now what's the new guy's name?
Tom Holland. So I wasn't far off.
Tom Holland.
I wasn't far
off.
Yeah. Shout out to Tom Holland.
Yeah. Do you know what? He's I think what I've seen, he's done all right. Do you know what? Shout out to whoever decided to have a reimagining of or reinterpretation of Spider-Man, but as someone of Hispanic descent, this guy, Miles Morales. All other Peter Parkers that I know of, or all other Spider-Men that I know of, just white dudes. Teenage to young adult, white dudes roaming around the city doing the bad thing.
In all possible timelines.
Yeah, I know.
I was going to say, even back when Stan Lee was...
The Spider-Verse.
Yeah, even in there, was there none other ethnicities in the Spider-Verse universes? I'm sure there was.
No. So what I remember, because there's one where he's with... This is years ago in the animated series that came out, 98? Spider-Man's with Madame Web.
Yeah,
this woman
Spider-Verse
goes back in time.
Yeah.
It is, in essence, the Spider-Verse. Yeah, where it goes to different dimensions, different reimaginings of Spider-Man. But I'm telling you, it's just Spider-Man, but he just so happens to have grown up in a universe where he needs wings, or he has a motorcycle, or a gun, or whatever. That just ethnicity isn't even a topic that's broached, because everyone's wearing a mask, which I kind of get.
No, I don't get it, because we know who Peter Parker is. All of them. We know who all of the Peter Parkers are. Well, not all of them. Clearly, we don't know their names or the actors. But you know what I mean? Yes, everyone wears a mask, but we also see their faces outside of it. There's a whole story with family and love stories and, yeah, affairs. Spider-Man has an affair, right? I'm sure Spider-Man's a player, man. With all them webs caught up in that web.
Two women. Sticky fingers. Two women who he has like love entanglements with. One is Mary Jane, obviously the redhead, famous for basically that. And who's the other one? Gwen Stacy, who's the blonde who goes to school. Mary Jane is the childhood love where he grew up next door and he's like admired her from day one. I think there's a line in one of the Spider-Mans where he says, "Oh, the first time I saw her, she was like an angel." Something maybe from Spider-Man 1. MJ. It's a nice like that killed the flipping the whole thing for me, but whatever. That's neither here nor there. And then Gwen Stacy he meets in like high school or something like that.
This is coming from the guy who thoroughly enjoyed watching the anime restarting life from zero, which is all about love and all about this person confessing their love to this person. You're telling me that because Jane, Mary Jane, and there was a little bit of the the first time I laid eyes on you, you was out. Come on, bro. What happened?
No. Please, don't get it twisted. I sat and I watched the movie and objectively enjoyed it. There's layers to that, but we won't go into it now. That's fine. With ReZero, the Isekai anime, really and truly, the thing that really got me with that isn't the love story that transpires throughout, which is the driving force of the story. The thing for me is the whole isekai where you die and get reborn, but that's almost every episode, a few times per episode, and you're trying to figure out, okay, why is this happening? What does it mean? Why Natsuki Subaru, like the main character, why is it happening to him? The whole mystery aspect completely like envelops the love aspect. So the love aspect is, I'm expecting it, but I'm not watching it for them.
I hear you. At all. And again, you know, I came at you with that one. I enjoyed watching it. It's just the last season was just a bit too much, because then it's like, what, everyone loves everyone? Like,
just everyone loves the one guy?
No, it sounds like it got to a point where everyone was like, I need to confess my love for this person. And it's like this whole anime.
Spoilers, though. I'm
oh, you've not watched it? Okay. you'll get what I'm saying. Maybe you'll get what I'm saying and we can revisit. But yeah, I don't know. I feel like love and entanglements is just too much.
Let me just say this, yeah? Let me not come across on the podcast as some like loveless, ice cold
king of apathy.
I don't know. Siberian king of apathy.
Ice king.
I know, ice king. What's his name? Simon. Call me Simon out here. No. I'm not saying that I'm Simon. However, if I'm watching something in terms of entertainment, if it's romance or love, I think that's something that shouldn't be the driving force for me. I understand why people can enjoy those stories and films and series, whatever, but it's not for me. Do you know, I've never read like a romance novel or book or anything. I've never sat there and...
You've never read 50 Shades of Grey?
Nah. Why would I? Do you know what the craziest thing is, yeah? I remember years ago when the book first came out. I say what first came out. It must have been out for a couple of months. It was either Mother's Day or Mum's birthday. And we all pulled our money together. And I went to W.H. Smith to go and get a book. And me not knowing anything about books in general, other than what
I just had a flashback,
Goosebumps, or what random books that we would
horrible like, history
have around the house, horrible histories, that random Lion book, that Lion King book that we had for years and years. But yeah, so as I'm looking, I'm seeing the top 10 books or the top like 8, whatever like the list was, and the top one, I think it was Twilight. Fifty Shades of Grey and something else. And I was like, which one should I get?
For Mother's Day.
Fifty Shades of Grey. I was just like, it was good. I actually got two, Twilight and 50 Shades of Grey. Mom didn't read either. Like a week later, I was like, oh, so how'd the books go? She's like, yeah, good.
Shout out to my mum. Like, shout out to mum for not reading it, but saying that the books were good.
You nasty, buying 50 Shades of Grey.
Again, I knew nothing of it.
Maybe mum did read it. Maybe mum did read it, but she didn't want to tell you that she read it.
Yeah.
Maybe
yeah,
that's true. What happened.
True. Yeah, I didn't know. I should have. It's not until years later when the movie came out, or like 5 years later, or maybe even more. I was like, oh, snap. I remember buying that book. Oh, so that's what it's about. Interesting.
And there's a part two. I swear there's like 4 parts of the book or something like that.
I couldn't tell you.
Wow.
I barely bought the first one and it wasn't for me, so.
I can imagine what the person behind the counter must have been thinking, like.
I know. Some random, like, what, 20-year-old black kid walking in, black man walking in buying Twilight and buying 50 Shades of Grey. Hey man, literature's there for everyone.
Yeah.
I hope they didn't judge me based off what I was just buying. I bought a pack of Haribos as well, obviously.
Tangfastics or just the regular ones?
Hey, they get you. Like the positioning of all the sweets, the chocolates, and like the crappy mumuñere that you can find.
Yeah, visual merchandising. They know what they're doing, man.
On Smash. I didn't go in there with the intention of coming out with Haribos. But I'm like, oh. Waiting in the queue, mind you. So you have time to contemplate this. You're like, oh, should I? Do you know what? Let me just get it. It's £1. Boom, you grab it.
It's like I'm in a game shop. And it's like, why have I walked out with a pair of socks? I don't need a pair of socks. I didn't come here to buy a pair of socks. But because they've got it in the queue and I'm waiting... Why not?
Hey, to have disposable income is a beautiful thing. Or to be in your mind, if you feel as though you have a disposable income, which is why you would go and do these things, whether or not that is actual disposable income, that's your own personal life. You could be screwing some shit.
Yeah, I feel like it's hypnotism because people don't... Let's be honest, man. Who lives within their means, man? We have credit.
Mm.
I hear honestly, that. Who I really lives means. Within their means?
Me.
Bro, you might be the one person in this world that I can agree with and say, yeah, okay.
Wait,
yeah.
Oh, hold on. Do you own your phone outright?
Yes.
What does that mean? Okay, what about the contract itself?
Are you on pay as you go?
My contract's like £10 a month.
That's credit.
Nice. That's credit. Yeah. As long as you keep buying... As long as you can keep paying that, that's benefiting your credit rating. So it's all automatically right. linked.
So I guess I was paying more attention to the whole who lives within their own means.
Okay, mm-hmm. cool. Yeah, fair play.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Fair play.
Okay, what else is there? Your car. That's not on finance. You own that outright.
Yes.
Mm. Where are you staying? You own that or you're paying rent or...
It's within my means where I'm staying.
Okay, well, that's a subjective thing based off how someone feels. Even if you're dead broke, surviving till tomorrow is within your means.
I thought being within someone's means or needs or is subjective. I thought it was with speaking subjectively here.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, subjectively, where I live is within my means.
Mm.
Yeah, as I was saying, I think...
What debts do you have?
Ooh. Maybe the one
obviously
from
not specific.
You're trying to hot a man up out here.
I know. Maybe the one from the phone contract he got out from me when I was 16.
Cousin Benson would give you the monies. You need to give your account.
Give your account and £500.
£500.
My name is George Akpadukudukwango.
I haven't heard that in years.
Yeah.
What's that early days of YouTube?
Cousin Benson.
Bloody hell.
You have won the Nigerian lottery.
I've seen some outrageous messages, text messages, emails that have come through to certain people's phones. And it's like, you know how when you receive a text message, it sometimes says the name at the top. And it will say like Tesco. And then in the message, it's like, your new Amazon package is ready. Please put your... It's like, come on, man. You better for than me, that.
Like, my threshold for any of that BS is if there's typos, I might as well delete it. It could be a legit thing. It could be like, you have won £1,000, Mr. Osman Zayn Janet, and full legit. Put all my details there. I'll still delete it. I don't care. Typos? Come on, man. That doesn't look professional.
Yeah, you're a grammar Nancy, though.
Hmm.
You're in the trenches for that one.
Yeah, you're...
Yeah, but no, man. I'm out. Because automatically that screams scam. That doesn't scream an organization has gone through, vetted this. It's been edited by 3-4 different teams of people to make sure that they're getting their message across, whatever it is. Come with there instead of there. Nah, man, I'm out. Say words.
Yeah, but anyone.
Nah, man.
Anyone can make that mistake.
Well, that's it. Yeah, you gotta come correct. That's what I'm trying to say.
Fair play. And I feel like even more so now, the increasing amount of, you know, SMSs and short there's a term for this. Oh, my old English A-level teacher is not going to be happy I forgot this. Anyway, there's a term for basically shortened language anyway. But I feel like it's because of the increase. Even me, bro, I've got to a point now where when I review things that I've typed, I'm like, am I dyslexic or do I just not, like, did I not notice that I spelt that completely wrong? And usually
how did Microsoft Word not notice?
Even Microsoft Word is slipping.
But that's why you have editing and sub-editing and going through that process. Mm. Because that first draft, even as you're writing essays, that first draft isn't the purest, the completed form of what you need to be, what needs to be done. It takes time. But yeah, no, I'm out. What did you do for your A-levels? English? I didn't know you did English A-level, you know.
Yeah, man. I did English literature and language. I did drama and theatre studies as well. I did psychology. I did history. And I think that's it.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Yeah.
What did you do, AJ?
I don't really remember, but what I do remember is I did business, I did computers maybe?
Computers, ICT, IT?
Maybe.
I mean, so old, man. The O levels, man. Computer studies.
No, well, the thing is, I failed A levels outright. I totally cocked that one up, so...
So it's in the vault, basically.
Yeah.
I hear you.
That was happens. Put in the vault a long time ago, and I never revisited it, so totally forgot. Mm. Oh, I failed that gloriously.
You know, I was in uni with some guys, yeah. I'm not going to name any names, but we had a running joke because even when they were at uni, like first year uni, they were like, yo, we need to reset our English GCSE.
Damn.
Hey. And that's no shade, but I'm just like, you live in this country, man. You go university in this country, man. What do you mean? How you failing English? That's always been my... How you failing English?
I hear you, but it's not, I know English, so I'm going to pass the exam. It's, you need to know what the examiners are asking for and then do specifically graded on that. Like, that's the school system. You don't get taught life lessons and how to live in the world. You get taught how to pass this exam to prove that you have this skill. And that's a double-edged sword in itself. So, yeah, I the main reason I'm jumping to this individual or this group's defense is my maths GCSE was a myth. It was an absolute folklore for the longest time. And you must think, coming from a fairly hardcore African background.
Hot mental.
Maths is so important. And we would hear stuff growing up like, oh, our grandfather on our mum's side was an accountant. Or on our father's side, our granddad was the treasurer for some like high profile mosque back in Sierra Leone. And it's like, damn, like people being good with numbers has been intertwined through the generations. So each generation is like, well, you better carry that torch. You better carry that torch. That was a massive source of, I don't know, shame for me for years. And it got to the point where, I don't know, man, Jesus, it was so long ago. So long ago. Who's checking with the school to see if I've got that DCS, GCSE?
So you just lied. You just lied.
No, that's not what I'm saying. What I am saying is, I have information on my CV, and if you would like references, I'm willing to provide those also.
Available upon request, my guy.
Available. That sounds so shady with your background. Explain your last. Why is this a 5-year gap in your employment history? Oh, shit.
Why don't you come around the corner and find out?
Oh, damn. Okay. No. Hey, it's that London mentality, man.
Nah, do you know what?
You lot are ruthless.
I was watching a YouTube video. I think you guys know Abba and Preach, right? I was making a joke reference because I watched this YouTube video. and basically, for those who don't watch Abba and Preach, they're YouTubers, and what they do is kind of like Gogglebox, kind of like World of Comedy.
Reaction videos.
So they watch, you know, other online content or YouTube videos or TV shows or whatever. And they just, I guess, give their opinion and react on it as well. So the one specifically that I'm referring to is about this guy in America. And I don't even know what to call him. Some sort of coach. Like, not a relationship coach, but like how to get women coach. Those types of guys.
Yeah.
And he was just wild. Like, he records himself walking up to women and just kissing them. Yeah. And he's giving people classes. And you got to pay basically $1,000 to have, like, private lessons from this guy. And he'll go and walk you around and be like, oh, this is how you approach a girl. It's completely like, it was mad. Like, I was watching it, and some of the stuff he was saying, it's like, you don't want to be in the friend zone, so you have to be, you know, have physical contact as soon as possible. And he's like, you know, you start with the hands and you go to the elbows, and then, you know, you get close proximity. And I'm just thinking, this just sounds rapey.
I hear that. Preach.
An ABBA. So, yeah.
Pickup artist is what that job, I guess, is called.
Is it a job?
Is he making money? Yeah. If he's able to charge nearly $1,000 for a subscription to his course, the man's making money. He's just a pickup artist. It's a job.
Yeah.
What do you want to be when you grow up?
I said Gallus. Oh my day.
So a pickup artist is someone who has a formula for picking up the opposite sex. Predominantly, the case is picking up women, and they charge to teach other men how to pick up women using the formula that they have.
How effective would it be on the other way around? Say this man say this man was a woman charging other women
to pick up men.
$1,000 to pick up men. Would that even work?
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm asking quite ignorantly, because obviously we're in a world where, if you look at it quite objectively, men are...
AJ's thinking, all the times... Nah, I can't see. He can't see it happening. Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah. So we live in a world objectively where it's like quite traditionally, men are always seeking the affections of women, and it's up to the man to woo the woman and do all these things to make her feel special, and then in turn ends up liking the guy. But on the other side, Tinder, for example. Now, on Tinder, the male's perspective, you're swiping furiously. And this is a generalization, massive generalization. Obviously, there's people out there who can get a match, get a girl, or a guy, whatever. But as a guy, you swipe furiously, unsuccessful for potentially ages. Potentially.
We could probably check the stats on that.
Mm. Potentially ages. But with women, like, this is first-hand experience, me seeing, like, friends on their Tinder. This is women on their Tinder. And, like, the rate of matches is quite disgusting because it makes it seem like all men are desperate and need pickup artists in order to find some sort of love or anything like that. Whereas women can get the drop of a hat. Now, obviously, what I'm trying to go through to say is, how can that work in regards to women when really and truly, again, generalizing, it's not that hard for a woman to go out and get a guy?
Do you know what, yeah? I'm going to have to say that might be subjective.
Yeah, like I started with, this is a massive generalization.
Yeah.
But because obviously there's going to be women who have low self-esteem, they struggle to find men, so they end up going with crappy men potentially, or whatever the situation is. And there's men who can click their fingers and have girls swooning over them and just bark like a dog. Ruff, ruff, ruff.
Yeah,
basically the same thing.
I think male
that middle ground where it's proper mucky, it heavily favors women, and that's traditionally throughout all existence.
Yeah, I feel like, I don't know, it depends on what source you have, man. Male or female, it depends on the source you have. I know guys that are like, some of the stories I've heard. Yeah.
Give us your best
yeah,
one.
Yeah, yeah, come on. Like,
yeah, you baited it now. Give us your best one. Pause. You don't need to give names.
It's not necessarily about the story. It's more so the volume of stories, like, within 1 week. And I'm just like, ah? And I feel like, I don't know, it depends. I think it depends. Also, you know, there's the view of if you're someone who is, or a man who's, you know, high, or you have a lot of power, or you're high valued, that term that is being used anyway, that it's almost a bit different. So I hear what you're saying, I was about, you know, in terms of the middle ground, but I also feel like it really depends on, I don't want to, your source is something different, but I think there's a lot of variables that can dictate that. And almost I feel we have one view because we don't have those variables where we're making millions and millions and millions of dollars. But if that was the case...
Or another variable is your gender, being a man or a woman. I get it. There are variables.
Mm.
But this example that you gave of a friend of yours who, the volume of stories they had, man or a woman?
Man.
Okay, cool. Do you have the same for women?
Yeah, but from a man's perspective.
No.
Yeah, man, so
that's a tainted opinion.
It's not really valid, yeah. Mm.
Oh, well. It was just as you were explaining that, I thought it was quite interesting that predominantly men. Like, I can only assume, I don't know myself, I can only assume that there's women out there who are pickup artists, because there's specific ways or specific routes that people want to go down in order to get, I don't know, the Bill Clintons and the Hugh Hefners of the world.
So ask men on Reddit. Ask men. So this guy basically writes, guys who use Tinder, how many matches do you usually get per week? And he gives a little background, but essentially, he's complaining. Oh, I'll read it. Okay. Also helps to know what your right swipe rate is. Ah, okay. So He's asking, guys who use Tinder, how many matches do you usually get per week? Also helps to know what your right swipe rate is. So he goes, I generally swipe right on half the girls I see on there. My age range is 18 to 22 and my requirements are be attractive, don't have kids, and don't be an obvious bot.
Yeah, that's kind of crazy.
That's incredibly amazing. That's what he's and that's not shade at all. That's just, I find that incredibly hilarious. Where was I? And don't be an obvious bot. After over 2 weeks of Tindering, exhausting swipes and using super like every day, I've landed a grand total of 5 matches. Those 5 girls, who are guaranteed to be attractive due to the nature of my swiping, probably have a huge pool of matches, chock full of dudes that are hotter, smarter, more socially adept than me.
Mm-hmm.
Thus, my odds are garbage. Also, Tinder uses a drip feed, which is awful for guys like me who have extremely low match rates. So I'm kind of just curious as to how much I suck at Tinder in comparison to other Redditors. Right, so there's 326 comments. And the top comment is, judging on all the buds here saying they only get a few a month, I'm not going to risk my ego destroyed. I will continue my strike for not creating a Tinder account. So, I mean, obviously this is just a completely silly example to use, but I would agree with Oz on, I think the average men get less match rates than women. Don't get me wrong, there will be outliers, you know, but for the average, I think it would be hard to argue against men getting lower match rates than women. And just think about this, man. Since a woman started puberty, she's had boys to men throwing themselves at her. Like, on just average women, the life of a woman, the moment, before they even realize anything like that, there's people who are in some ways idolizing them sexually. And I reckon that happens throughout women's lives.
Mm. Quite interesting, something you said. I feel like in regards to a decision when this guy had matched these people and he was like, oh, there must be this massive pool of guys with all these various attributes who are better, in inverted commas. I've used the app. I'm not ashamed to say that I've used it. With varying.
Well, why should you be ashamed?
Just adding that on. With varying degrees of success. But as I'm going through and playing the game, because that's essentially what it is.
Roll the dice.
There's some profiles that would come up and I'm like, wow, that person's actually quite attractive. You look at their profile. Whoa, they've actually written something there that I vibe with. There's something in my mind that has happened before. I've clocked myself like a few times, and I'm like, no. Simply because I know there's going to be this massive pool of guys who I have to compete with. Now, you can call it the path of least resistance, because who knows what could happen if we do actually match and we have a conversation, whatever. But just the concept of, well, the notion that I know that that I find this person attractive, I know other guys are going to find this person attractive. It's not an indie look that they have or something. It's quite a generally beautiful look, which is why I'm just like, no. I've clocked myself quite a few times. Another thing that springs to mind is, as you were reading there, is the mention of bots. Now, I have this friend, a woman who, like all human beings, was horny one night. So she decides to go onto Tinder with all these matches that she's had before. This is over 50 people matched in like the local area. and she sent like a general message, typed it out quite like she's a writer also, so it was sub-edited and edited and reread, no typos, no nothing. But essentially, like, in the body of the text was, look, I'm just looking for some no strings attached fun. There's a few ground rules. We have to use protection. You have to stay for, like, cuddling afterwards. And, like, four or five like, different, fairly standard, but, like, all right rules that she had. And the majority of the guys who replied, imagine she said it to all of them. All of them. Maybe, see, I say 50 because I feel like that's more of a correct number. But I kind of feel like it's like 170, something like this. What? When she told me, I was like, because this is what, at 50, I'm just throwing it out there as a number that we're using. But I believe it is more.
Okay.
She told me, I was taken back like, God damn. You got that many? That's like 5, maybe 10 times the number of matches I've had in my entire usage of the app, yeah? But that, whatever. So she sent out this thing where all these rules, sent it to all these guys. The majority of the guys, their reply is, yeah, thanks a lot, but almost because it's too easy.
Mm.
Men, in general, wouldn't expect a woman to come up to you and be like, hey, I find you attractive, let's go do it.
I guess I would be incredibly suspicious.
100%.
If even in real life, a woman comes up to me and goes, yo, I want to... I'd be like...
Where's the cameras at?
Yeah, what's going on here?
I don't know.
What's the catch?
I don't know. 100%. But it's quite interesting that it's not just these guys who are thinking, oh, there's a lot of bots. But there's bots in everything. This world we live in is just crazy.
Firstly, I'd like to say to your first point, bro, you got the source. You don't have to have that my level of
lack doubt. Of self-confidence.
Yeah, man, you got the source.
Oh, but also, aside from like the personal feels of using an app, a dating app in general, especially during lockdown, it was a way of communicating with people other than my family or the numbers that I have in my phone, you know, in my WhatsApp, whatever. So perhaps it was like half experiment, half, hey, if I get some, I get some. Kind of like this.
Mm.
Get some as in a real good conversation. I don't know what you guys were thinking about. Let me just stop you right there. Let's get the heads out of the... I know. Get your heads out of the gutter. Sewage from the ears.
Yeah.
Fiends out here. Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah, man, I don't know. I feel like, I don't know, when it comes to people on that, I've had various conversations. I've had this guy that
one time. Sorry, Mo, are you able to agree that on average men are striking more than women are?
Striking out more than women are.
On average.
On average, yeah, I would agree. I would agree with that.
The thing that I think is the driving point of my stance is everyone's thirsty. Everyone has like your basic instinctual desires. Everyone has this. However, whether it's society, whether it's in our DNA, men aren't equipped enough to hold that back in reserve. And I don't know, like the priorities on like a very basic level, sex is all the way up there, or attention from a woman is all the way up there. I think that's a little bit mad.
Do you feel like that's... I kind of hear you. It's almost like an element of control, right? That's kind of how control? I see it. Self-control.
Exactly.
Yeah, against your desires. That's kind of how I almost see it. And I agree with the fact that, you know, everyone has their desires and, you know, even as a child... You know, when you're told, no, don't do it, I'm pretty sure you lot have experiences. The child will look at you and go and do it, you know, because it's like the desire of what I don't have is actually what I want. And I don't know whether it's the thrill. I don't know whether it's just, I don't know, the nature of our attraction.
You mentioned something of control, self-control. Well, you started with control and then revised that to self-control. I believe there is this element of control also. Now, if you give the example of Matt Hancock, yeah,
oh boy.
He's recently resigned from health secretary, from what's the other one? What's his role? His job?
Who? Matt Hancock?
Mm.
He's the health secretary.
Just the health secretary.
Well, he was the health secretary. Mm-hmm.
So he's left
for
that.
The UK government.
Based off of him having an affair with one of the aides who was working with him. Now, this is objectively my opinion, but I don't see him in the full... I know, an oxymoron a little bit, but we'll come back to that perhaps. I don't see him in Forbes top 100.
Sorry, I just clocked. This guy said, but... Yeah, we all watched the video. We all saw what he was doing. Nasty.
Is he?
Nah. Well,
yeah, so wait, I don't see him in the Forbes top 100 handsome guys of the year.
Nah.
So,
nah, we all made the
list. I think if you're talking of someone who has fairly wide ranging celebrity status, he's not an attractive guy. But in his position, he wants some element of control over his life, and he wants women to find him attractive also, perhaps with the power, aside from the power, who knows, like what's really in his heart and his own desires. But yeah, I believe there's an element of wanting to control that person, or perhaps wanting to control another individual because you are in that position. Because he was health secretary, because he's not on the Forbes top 100 list. That's why he thought, do you know what? I can go and do stuff with my aide, even though I've got a wife and kids at home.
And, you know, just put it in context, it was COVID times, the peak of COVID times. And this guy was coming on TV saying you should not be doing these things. You should not be groping your secretary aide at work. You should be staying at home. There should be absolute minimal physical contact with people outside of your household. So, I don't know. I don't know if I go with control. Maybe. Maybe it... In weird ways, and I see this in myself, like, people want to self-destruct. It's a funny thing. You do something like that, knowing the risk. Perhaps it's the thrill of it. I'm not too sure.
I think that's exactly it. It's not that they want to self-destruct per se, but it's that danger aspect of, oh, we might get caught. That adds to the atmosphere of whatever it is that you're doing. Makes it, 10%, 20% sexier. Because it isn't your wife, or whatever that situation may be.
I also kind of feel like naturally, and I do agree with you guys, but I also feel like naturally, as humans, yeah, we want to know what our boundaries are. We want to, you know, the rules of society that we live by now are not the same as what they were, you know, centuries ago. And even in those times, they weren't what they were centuries before that. And I feel like, you know, rules have been put in place because we just don't know the boundaries. You know, we've been put on this vast earth, you know, with the gifts and powers that we have, you know, and all animals and all life forms have, yeah. And it's always about telling me those flies don't come and, you know, fly up on your face or go up on your food. What are my boundaries? How far can I go before, you know, before it hits the fan? And I feel like in those situations, and referring or bringing it back to this man, Matt Hancock guy, it's the thrill, but also it's kind of like, you know, how far can I take this?
Yeah.
How close can I get to that line where it's like, oh. And I feel like that the thrill is part of that, the desires that we have of, you know, being told you can't have something, but then you want it because you've been told you can't. I feel like all of those come into play, and it's almost as if, I don't know, we're just testing the boundaries.
Is the woman at fault?
Both of them are.
Oh, she was married as well, I believe.
Both
of
them are.
She had a family herself.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Both of them are.
So they were both just doing the
And the guy was successful. He owns a business.
Oh, her husband.
Oh, yeah. Her husband's quite successful.
Yeah. So it's not like she was with some...
More in than Matt.
Yeah.
Like, I... Thank you for your answer. I'm going to rephrase the question, but keep the same answer that you guys had. Do you feel that she has more blame than Matt Hancock? But
why? No, I don't.
As you guys are taking, but the whole point of me asking it in that manner would be, if he's in that position of power, she's potentially vulnerable, and she's coerced into perhaps doing this thing with him.
You see, my understanding from the whole situation is, these guys have known each other from back in the days. They went to uni together.
Mm.
So it wasn't a case of, oh, he was like, hey, come here. And it was like, they kind of had some tension, sexual tension between them from back in the days. He used the power to get her in a position where they were closer and this tension can be explored a bit more.
Mm.
But I, you know, my understanding is she was a complete willing participant of this situation.
It wasn't to like defend her or defend the act itself.
But specifically, it wasn't a case of he abused his authority to get her, is my understanding. I mean, obviously, it's easy for me to say, you know, we weren't there. We don't know what the tension was, but the camera was there. That's all we do know. And he was putting tension on that ass. That's all I know.
Clapping cheeks.
Have you heard that expression before? Clapping cheeks.
Me?
Yeah.
In what context?
What do you mean? Have you heard the expression?
No.
Yes. Tell us yes, and then tell us the context.
Yes, the context I've heard it in is when I was in a tea party. Come on, my boy. Clapping cheeks out here.
No, I don't know what clapping cheeks is. What's clapping cheeks?
The rough and tumble, getting down and dirty.
Oh, jank and
having
pull.
Sex.
Oh, jank and pull.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Having sex, Mackie style, several times for like 20 minutes of an episode.
Hey, Okello here. This section is a space where we'll be sharing short stories, creative experiences, and art. Hey guys. This is Oz. This is a poem I wrote, titled A Land of Wolves. Hungrier than time, the insatiable appetite. Wolves standing in a line, waiting to pick up their dry cleaning. For those who can't afford the wool, rent their garments from shops or stores, or steal them prior to stealing themselves before the night raid. Even amongst their pack, they are afraid. Fear stems from a realization that we all have the capacity to wear the wool and use the same tools. If the concept chose to lose, in the face of reflection, time treats me like a fool. I wore my wool with so much pride, used the tricks of the trade to sneak inside. Caused fright, then leave in the night. Only once my belly is full will I feel whole and nice. These days, I try to resist the urges with all my might. But in this land of wolves, none of us can afford to be sheep, right? With calmness and stillness, it comes to an end. We hope you found some gems and go away richer in soul and spirit. We're showing you the three paths of the sage. Your path is your own. Which path do you follow? Until next time.